Okay, guys, welcome to the show. This is Deborah Gets Red Pilled. It is Thursday, April 6th. It's 5 a.m. So I'm kind of whispering because Emily's still asleep. I've been up since 2:30 this morning, and I'll get to why I was up early in a little bit, but couldn't get back to sleep. Haven't done a regular free episode for you guys for a while. I think I missed last week, so I thought I'd put out something and just talk about some stuff that's been going on and been on my mind. It's been a busy, rough month out here. So, yeah, I want to thank everybody for still sticking with us, and especially everybody who's there on the Patreon, supporting us there. Got up to, I think we got 25 subscribers now. So, if you guys want to get in there and check it out, we're doing some good stuff in there. We did a episode last Saturday night with Corey Hughes. We did what Corey Hughes talks about. What he believes to be inflated numbers on a certain event and assassination of a US president. We didn't really get into the assassination, so we're going to do part two next month. He said he's already preparing a special show for just for us. He's a good guy. But other than that, yeah, it's just been crazy out here. So yeah, new Patreon subscribers, Gabe, my friend from church. And yeah, thanks, dude. I really appreciate it. And Gabe and I will be sharing a baptismal pond together in a month or a week and a half. Sorry guys, it's 5 a.m. He also just told me that he's getting married in August. So congratulations, dude. We're really excited for you, and really excited to attend your wedding and the reception and stuff. So good job. But moving on, I just kind of wanted to talk to you guys about the homestead and how hard it's been out here the last month. Life's really been it hasn't been easy. And I'm extremely grateful for every day that I get to experience it. It's hard to stay grateful and remember that I get to do this, for a living out here instead of having to go to a job that makes me want to slit my wrists in my car in a parking garage before I walk in every morning. So, yeah, I just, lambing season is upon us. It's also the Great Lent in the Orthodox faith, which will end in a week and a half on a Saturday the 15th. But included in that period of time is some pretty intense fasting. I'll be honest with everybody, mine is not the perfect fast. I've made some concessions, talked with my spiritual father about what would work for me, but I'm constantly hungry. I'm down 12 pounds, and I'm really cold all the time because I've lost some weight. So, yeah, it's just it's a sacrifice and just getting used to being hungry all the time and bored with what you're eating and just eating for sustainability instead of living to eat. And it's just it's kind of nice getting that self-discipline in there, but it makes life a little harder. My brain's not working quite right and I'm tired and cold. So I'm really grateful that I get to do it. But I'm excited for it to be over. I'm already like going over in my head all the things that I'm going to do, all the horrible, unhealthy food choices I'm going to make for the first day and a half after I'm done with the fast, and then make myself sick, and then probably settle back down to something more moderate and, healthy. But I'm going to go off the rails for a minute. Definitely going to go to Dairy Queen, get a Blizzard. That's what I'm thinking about the most. So, yeah, lambing season's here, guys. And this time of year in the Pacific Northwest, it's warming up a little bit, but it's still, in the 40s and 50s every day. Low 50s is like a warmer day here right now, and this is the time of year when it rains a lot. It rains all the time here, but just kind of not really heavily, just all the time. And in the springtime, March is still pretty cold, and end of March maybe it starts warming up a little bit, but the rain really starts coming, and it's gonna rain this whole month. The homestead is a muddy mess, and it just looks gross. Everything looks muddy, and kind of weighs you down when you have to see just the rain and the mud and everything you got to do. You got to put on rubber boots and go slog around in the mud every day. And the animals are all wet, the chickens are all wet, the eggs are all muddy. Pasture's got standing water in it. So yeah, that's just what we deal with here every year. I don't know. Every year since I've been here, maybe there's some times when it's a dry spring, but here's when the spring is when it really rains a ton here. Getting another inch today. And yeah, I'm just really looking forward to the sun and 65 degree days and not wearing a bunch of layers and not having to change my clothes because I'm soaking wet all the time or put on rain gear. So they're coming. Those days are coming. And it's been a really good experience to go through this lambing season in the rain and wet and cold. And it's snowed recently as well. So I think next year. Oh, and then like everybody lambs in the springtime. And this is a Lent for me, so I think I'm gonna adjust our schedule for next year. It's just this experience of going through it. And we had one lamb last year, but that was just it. And then this year we've got a whole bunch, so it's a lot more work. We got way more sheep, and I think next year, because of Lent and because of the weather and the mud and the state of the farm, I'm gonna breed all the sheep later, maybe in December, so that the babies come out in May. I think that's the timing that will work out. I've still got two pregnant girls. The Katahdin sheep that I borrowed from my neighbors are still pregnant. They're enormous. They might have triplets in them or just big babies. And yeah, hopefully my neighbors don't ask for them back because I think they're trying to kind of downscale their livestock and their homestead. So maybe they'll let us keep these two big Katahdin hair sheep that they let us borrow. We get to keep the lambs no matter what, but it'd be nice to be able to keep these girls. They seem like they're going to be good moms. And yeah, so I think get everybody bred in December next year or this year. And then maybe when the babies come out, it'll be drier and warmer. And Lent will be over, and I won't be hungry all the time. So, but yeah, I think starting a month ago was our first lamb of the year was born. Total surprise from our original sheep, Laverne. She's the one who gave us a baby lamb last year, Lyle, and he was the lamb that we slaughtered. I think in November, I can't remember when, February maybe. It's all running together. He's a lamb that we slaughtered and processed. So she had another single lamb, Mary, this a month ago. And it was a total surprise. I went out in the pasture one day and there was to feed him in the morning, and there was a little lamb born in the rain under a tree. And she is a good mom who she only has single lambs, so that's a lot of people wouldn't keep breeding her because of that. But I've found that maybe if they have single lambs, that the lambs are bigger, the mothers don't have any trouble giving birth, at least mine. And yeah, and then they only have to provide milk for that one lamb, and they're doing great. That little girl, Mary, is enormous. She's probably 50 pounds right now, and she's a month old. She's half the size of her mom at least. And yeah, she's a lot of fun. She's a Gotland sheep, and she's mixed with East Frisian. So our guy Lloyd, who died from coccidiosis, he snuck one past the goalie, as they say, before he died. And yeah, we had no idea. So his genetics live on in little Mary, and she's doing good. She's big and running around. She's a goofball. A lot of fun to hang out with. So really excited for her. And yeah, after that, we had surprise piglets. So I wasn't expecting it when it happened. I should have been, because we had done the math and it worked out right. It just didn't seem like Eleanor, our sow, was ready to give birth. But I went out there once again to feed them one day, and there was in their little shelter, there was six tiny piglets. They're really, really cute. So that one's pretty intimidating. I don't know how to. I've never had piglets before, haven't had pigs before. And yeah, just they're a lot of work. They tear up the land. And we have guinea hogs, American guinea hogs, who are a little heritage breed homestead pig. And yeah, we got a long history in America. Thomas Jefferson had them, and they have a big old fat cap on them, which they used to use to take care of like all the lubrication needs on the homestead, as well as like eat them. And so they're everything that they can produce, you can use. But they're little, and they're supposed to not root around as much in the ground, but they still tear everything up. So I've got Eleanor, the mother, and her six piglets in a little stall in the barn so that they can nurse in a dry, comfortable area. And I think I'm just going to keep them in there until I'm ready to wean them off. And my big boar pig, Pigward, he's grown up to be a big guy, and I've got him out on the back pasture, and I'm rotating him. I'm gonna try to do like every 2 days, just because they're so rough on the land. I've been watching some videos. I like watching homestead videos. I watch a lot of them on YouTube, and it's really nice. I paid the $12 to get the YouTube without ads, so that I can do movie or do news stories for the regular show. But it's really say what you will about YouTube, it's very helpful for a lot of things that I need it for, like homesteading, farming, home improvement stuff. Watch it all, and it's nice not having ads every 30 seconds. I think it's $12 a month. So thanks to the Patreon people for supporting us so we can do that. And but I found this one channel. I think it's called Red Tail Farms. They only have like 2,000 subscribers, which is strange, but I like them because they're showing like what a real homestead looks like. It's not super polished. They're just doing it's two people, and they're just doing the videos by themselves. And they raise sheep and goats and pigs, and they put their pigs in the forest. I think they're in North Carolina, they said, by Southeast North Carolina, which is much different than where I live. But I want to get, I've got some wooded area, not very much, but I've got some wooded area up behind the house, and I want to set it up for the pigs because they can tear it up there, and I don't really mind. So I'm gonna get, when I get a little extra time, I'm gonna go work on that, clear some brush, and set up some electric polywire, and yeah, see if it works, see if they escape. They're pretty good little escape artists, but I think that usually happens when they don't have a lot of stuff to keep them entertained. I think if you're moving them around a lot and they've got stuff to keep their minds off trying to get out to go somewhere else, then it works out well. So hopefully that works. And yesterday, or my neighbor came over a couple days ago and asked me, they've got a lot of experience doing this stuff. I think she worked on farms before they got their place next door to us. And they have 120 acres over there, which is pretty awesome. Big old barn. It's much nicer than our barn. And they kind of know what they're doing. They got cattle and sheep, and they don't have pigs anymore and chickens and stuff, but I think they're trying to kind of get out of the livestock game because I think they were more trying to have their homestead produce money as a business, whereas we're just trying to maybe have a little bit of a side hustle, but mostly just sustain ourselves. And I think that's a much easier goal to attain than trying to run a business the first time you homestead. Maybe you get there a couple years down the road, but for me right now, it's yeah, it's nice just having these animals that I know I'm going to be able to feed the family with. But my neighbor came over and she asked me how old the piglets were. I told them they're a couple weeks, and she said, "Well, what are you gonna do with them? What are you gonna do with the boys? Are you gonna breed them, or are you going to castrate them for so you can eat them and you don't have to worry about them breeding?" And I was like, "Well, pigs can have babies every 3 months, or their gestation period is 3 months, 3 weeks, 3 days." And yeah, so if you don't keep an eye on them, they'll just keep having babies. And this first litter was six, and it could be more than that next time. I think it could be up to like my girl Eleanor has like 13 nipples, so I think that's how many she could have. So I don't want to have that responsibility yet. So she came back over yesterday and showed me how to. I separated these four. We had four boys and two little girl piglets. Separated them and castrated the boys. Sliced their little nuts out. They're still internal. So you take a you just take a scalpel, and you kind of like sit on a bucket and put their heads down. You hold them between your knees and you press up on their little grundle area, and that's not their grundle. It's not in between their BH and their nuts. It's below their nuts, like around their stomach. You just kind of like press up with your thumb, and you can see the little outline of two little ovals, and you just slice, make a vertical slice down the middle where you can see them protruding, and cut a little membrane out. They're screaming the whole time. They're screaming just because they scream. That's what they do. I don't think it really hurts them. These scalpels are so sharp. And cut a little member cut through the little membrane after you make the incision, and then you just kind of squeeze, and these two little pink nuts pop out. They look just like jelly bellies, and you kind of like grab behind them and pull, the vas deferens come out. I got this great knife. It's called, you guys should check it out. It's called, the brand is called Havalon, Havalon. And they're like scalpel knives. So it's like a pocket knife, and they have scalpels that you can change out on the pocket knife. And they're super cheap. And it is an amazing knife. It's, their people take them hunting with them. I've seen videos of guys that take apart a whole elk with this one little pocket knife, and it's great because once it gets dull, you can just switch out the scalpel on the knife, and it's they're awesome. So I just used that. And it was successful. Did for the, my neighbor Hannah did the first two. I watched, and then she I did the last two. The first one I did, I got his one first one out, and then the other one kind of like either sunk back in and I couldn't find it, or he only had one. So we're gonna keep an eye on him. Right after you get him out, you just put this blood clot powder on him and send him on my way back to their mom, and they're fine. So got that done. Don't have to worry about that anymore, which is nice. And looking forward to getting those guys up into the woods. But back to the sheep. So I'm trying to let our pasture come back, so I don't have any sheep grazing on it right now. I've got a little spot on the side of my driveway where I have the two rams, Lambert and Leonard. And they are, just got hay for them, and there's lots of green grass, and they're really happy out there right now. And we're a little worried about Leonard, the aggressive one, what he was gonna do to the other one when we put him out there, because he's pretty docile and nice. And once he was sick after a couple, like we noticed he was really skinny, and he was sick, so we took him to the vet and he got a clean bill of health finally. No disease, no nothing like that that will affect the rest of the herd, so we or flock. So we put him out there with Leonard. They did good. I moved them to the side of the driveway and they're doing well. So I've got the all the girls and our one wether just free grazing around the house every day. I've got a little gated off area down by the creek. I put them in there at nighttime. There's some shelter down there. There's a hay feeder. I give them like some good orchard grass and alfalfa pellets and stuff so that they can have some extra protein during the winter when the grass isn't very nutritious. And so I feed them down there still, feed them regular hay also. But I let them out every day and they graze and mow the lawn around the house and stuff like that. But so the one little lamb, Mary, she's been running around out there, and I look out and I see her out the window goofing off and stuff. The other day I forget what I had to do, but I put the sheep back in the in their gated off area down by the creek, and I was back in the house cleaning the kitchen. And it was probably like 4 or 5 in the afternoon. And I look out there and I see Laverne and Mary out there, which is the mom and her little lamb. And I go, oh, they must have been somewhere else. And I didn't notice that they didn't get put away. So I keep working. I'm like, oh, maybe I'll put her back up later. So I keep working in the kitchen and then I go out on the porch. I look over into the gated off area down by the creek, and Laverne and Mary are in there. They're not where I saw them before on the other side of the fence. So I'm like, what the hell is going on? There must be a hole in the fence that they can get through. I don't understand what's going on. And then I don't really think about it too much. I go back in, and then I see out the kitchen window, I see Lola, one of our twin dairy lambs, and she's out there, and she's been super pregnant lately. And I start putting the connecting the dots. I say, oh my gosh, I bet you Lola gave birth out there. So I see her laying in the grass, and I see some little shapes by her, and I'm like, oh my gosh, maybe there's two of them. I go out there, and sure enough, there's two little brand new, beautiful, white, lambs. They're both girls, And yeah, it was so exciting. They're also Lloyd, our boy that died from coccidiosis, he got one into her too, two of them into her. So she had these beautiful little twins. She did it on her own and didn't need any help. So she's a good mom. And we named those two little ones Minnie and Mimi. Minnie is pretty funny. She's got a funny little face, and her ears were all floppy when she came out. So I think they say sometimes that's a sign that there's still kind of some fluid in her ears. And you just got to keep an eye on them. They're both pretty small, but they're healthy. I just hung out with them. It's really nice. The mom's kind of tired and worn out, but they're so attentive to them right afterwards. And it's just amazing seeing these little lambs, take their first, 100 steps and nurse and get that colostrum right away. That's super important for them to build up their gut and give them everything they need to survive those early days. And yeah, I tried to get her in the barn to see if she wanted to be in there overnight and stay warm, and she didn't want it. She wanted to go back down by the creek with everybody else. And so I got her in there with the little babies. Little babies couldn't figure out how to get through an open gate. They kept running into the fence, so I just picked them up and put them down there. It's pretty cute. It's nice when they're still little, you can still pick them up and pet them and kiss them and stuff. But pretty soon they're already running away from me. I can still kind of catch them, but I won't be able to pretty soon. But yeah, so that was really, really exciting. And it was funny because I had noticed Wilma, my little pit bull, she was out over by the fence line in an area that she doesn't usually hang out. And I think she was over there. I think she witnessed the whole thing and was like a little midwife and helped out. That's what I like to think. But she was probably in reality just over there waiting for like the placenta or something like that. It's amazing, these sheep, they as soon as the baby comes out, they start licking it. They this the amniotic sac comes out of them first, and that's how you can tell they're about to go. It's like their water, the sac will either like pop or sometimes it doesn't. But sometimes before they even give birth, they start cleaning that up and eating it because they don't want their prey animals. So they know that if anybody gets a smell of that, they're gonna come kill them, So they clean up after themselves, and as soon as the babies come out, they lick them and clean them up really, really well. And so they're no problem, and she's a good mom. The next morning I went out to let them out. She came running out, and there was only one of the little lambs with her. Minnie was missing. So I was like, oh no, am I gonna find a dead baby lamb down here? She looked pretty small. I was a little worried, and I couldn't see her, but I could hear the tiniest little lamb crying. And I walked over to like under the tree where they all kind of sleep, and I could hear it getting louder and louder. And I looked down, and she had fallen into the creek. And thank God it was at the spot she had fallen in was only, probably 6 inches deep. But it was a cold morning, and she was down there, and it's like a sheer bank, four feet down probably, and she was just stuck in there. And nobody could get her out, so I jumped in immediately into the creek and got her. And I could feel her little belly was warm. Her core wasn't like cold. Her legs were wet, but that was it. So I just kind of got as much water off of her I could with my hands, off her little hooves and stuff, and then put her back with her mom, and haven't had any problems since. They're both really, really good little lambs, and doing everything that they're supposed to be doing. So yeah, now we're gonna get to the part of the story where it gets real hard. So Lola, who gave birth to those two little guys, has a sister, Lulu, twin sister. And I think last summer we got, or last spring we got Lulu, Lola, and their mother, Loretta, from this girl up in Washington, because we wanted some dairy sheep for milk. And that's kind of what she specializes in. So we got those two, and they've had a hard time. Their mom, Loretta, was the one that got killed by the mountain lion last summer. And then Lola did well, had the two babies, and then Lulu was enormous. I thought she might have twins or triplets inside of her. And so I was like, we're expecting her to give birth any day. And yesterday, Wednesday, we noticed that the amniotic sac came out, and she was gonna start going into labor. So we're just keeping an eye on her, kind of following her around a little bit, giving her space. But just we both Emily had her day off, and we both just kind of wanted to see it. So no, this was on Tuesday, and it was taking kind of a long time. We went online, and Emily's really good at doing online research, and sometimes too good, because she'll get a little bit of analysis paralysis. And if you look long enough on the internet, you can find exactly what you want. You can find people that are going to tell you the exact opposite of the thing you just read, and if you go too far into it, it becomes unhelpful. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But we got all the signs that should happen. We're watching, kind of giving her some space. We go back in, and finally she starts pawing at the ground and making a little nest and laying down, standing up and getting restless. They start licking their lips. And I think they get like juice jaw, like when you're about to puke, like how you get the saliva rush in your mouth. I think they get something like that so that they can have saliva to clean up their, that's bro science on my part, but I think they have that so they can clean up the babies when they come. And she starts doing everything like that. And the amniotic sac's out, and finally I see a little paw sticking out. Everything online has said you're supposed to see two paws fa sticking out, two hooves in a facing down, like they're about to dive out. We're only seeing one for a long time. We wait and watch her for about 20 minutes with just that one paw. We're both looking at each other, Emily and I, and each of us wants the other one to be like, we need to go help her. We need to do it, but neither of us has the balls to pull the trigger because we're so nervous and scared. Finally, I just go, we gotta help her. I start taking my wedding ring off. Always remember that scene from, I think it's like City Slickers, where Billy Crystal loses his wedding ring or something inside of a cow. But and Emily's like, no way, I've got way smaller hands than you. She runs inside. We've got some pork lard from this place, Alluvial Farms, up in Bellingham, Washington. And Emily greases up. I kind of chase Lulu down and get her on her side, hold her there, and Emily comes out. And what's going on is that only one paw is sticking out. The other one is kind of stuck in there. And instead of the lamb having its arms like stretched out like to the side of its head, they're kind of on the side of her body, like not stretched out. So it's holding her up inside. So Emily sticks her hands in. I'm gonna get graphic here, guys. I'm kind of like pulling her vagina back. I can see the head starting to expose. Emily reaches in, grabs the other arm, grabs its two hooves, and pulls hard, and this beautiful little black and white half Katahdin ewe lamb comes out in the sack. And yeah, it's it was really, really amazing. And I was worried that she was gonna be dead because she'd been sitting there for a long time, not getting pushed out. I don't know, I've never done this before. And she starts moving around, and Lulu cleans her up, and eventually she eats her little, whatever the sack is that's around her. It's not the placenta, but and yeah, she's like tangled up in like all this goo. The mom eats it off, and she eventually stands up and nurses. It's amazing. Another amniotic sac comes out, and or maybe I'm using the wrong word. I don't know if that's the amniotic sac or water bag. Another one comes out, so we know, okay, then another one's coming. Let's give her some space. So we go inside, hang out for another 20 minutes, and we get up to go look at her again, and she's standing up, and it looks like a beef brisket's coming out of her. So she the second one came out all on her own. She did great, and he's a little blonde brown boy, and so we go out there to see if she needs any help. She starts cleaning him up, and this is when it turns bad. We're really happy. We think everything's going great. She starts cleaning him up, and she starts she's got like all this stuff hanging out of her mouth that she's eating off the guy that just came out, and she starts choking, and we're like, oh, you know what's going on? Is she choking? And we're like, I think she's just got something stuck in her throat. I don't think much of it. And then she keeps choking. And eventually, you know, it's going on for like 30 seconds. She falls over on her side, and she's choking to death. And I start getting real scared and worried and don't know what to do. And she's laying on her side, and I just start like pushing on her stomach as hard as I can. And she starts like kind of wheezing and coughing, and eventually, like, her eyes had rolled back in her head, her tongue was sticking out. It was like a light gray color. I think she's dead. You know, I start like pushing on her. She's laying on her side. I start pushing on her stomach, and she comes back, and she's still like kind of, you know, choking, but she's breathing and like making sheep noises. So I kind of turn her over, and I like give her like a traditional kind of Heimlich type deal while she's sitting down. And I think that was a huge mistake on my part. But she comes back to life. The second baby gets up and nurses off her, gets some colostrum, which is super important. So, then yeah, then this is where it gets real bad. Her we're expecting I'm like expecting the placenta to come out, this giant dark pink thing comes out of her, and I'm like, is that the placenta? That's not really what I expected it to look like. And we come to find out it's not the placenta, it is her whole uterus. So she had a prolapsed uterus, and it's not a good situation. And we start freaking out. I tell Emily that we don't have cell reception outside where she was given birth, so I tell Emily to run inside, look on her phone, see what a placenta looks like, see what a uterus looks like, and if this is like a common thing, if there's something we can do. She figures out pretty quick it's not the placenta, it's the uterus. And she calls the vet, talks to somebody at the vet. They tell her to mix up a big bowl of iodine with water, clean off this, put her on her side, clean this off, and dump sugar all over it because it'll shrink it up, and then you can try to push it back in. We're both freaking out, kind of yelling at each other. It's really scary. It's really really bloody. And it's not working. We do the sugar thing and we try to push it back in and it's not working. And I finally get to the point after about 5 minutes and I say, we've gotta call her. This is really, really bad. There's no coming back from this. Emily agrees. We're both pretty bummed out. I go inside. Emily just kind of comforts her, and I go in, and she's my favorite sheep too. Lulu's been my favorite since I got her. I go inside and get what I need to. I get a 9mm handgun and go outside. I shoot her and I slit her throat, and it sucks. It's really, really shitty. I didn't it make I was okay. I knew I had to do it. Emily was super brave and strong through it. She cried. I didn't cry, but I wanted to. And we didn't have time to like mess around. As soon as that's done, we had to get the little lambs, get a heat lamp set up for them, take them to the barn, and figure out how we're gonna keep these guys alive without their mom, and start bottle feeding them. Luckily, we had a bottle and some goat milk replacer, so we're kind of just in autopilot, trying not to think about what just happened while like taking care of these brand new little babies. And yeah, I thought I was gonna be fine with it and not really think about it. I was like, wow, I'm not really like that bummed out about it, or sad. I was really bummed out, but not that sad or disturbed. And now I'm kind of thinking about the whole process of having to do that a lot. So I was up, at 2:30 this morning, bottle feeding these little guys, and came back in and just couldn't get back to sleep, just thinking about what we had to do. It's a bummer, and it's just what's got to be done. And it's hard, and I'm super grateful that I get to do it. As long it's really sad that she's gone, but she was a good teacher. So this birth gave us our first try at like assisting a mother to get a lamb out of her. We were successful doing that. And then we saw this horrific uterus prolapse. Hopefully we never have to see that again. It's pretty rare, I guess. And so we saw that for the first time. I had to call a sheep that I didn't want to for the first time out of like love and humanity. And now we have these little lambs that we have to bottle feed. So these are all firsts. And I've said it before, like it's so hard out here with no experience, just figuring this stuff out. And it sucks kind of because the way you learn is when bad things happen and fixing them. And that's the only way to like that you can't really prepare for everything that's going to come out here. You can't mitigate loss, especially with sheep. They just die. I thought they were going to be super easy, because we only had like three or four the first year. And it's like, oh, this is easy. But once they start multiplying and giving birth and, doing all that stuff, and it's hard. They're hard to keep alive. Lots of stuff can go wrong. And I'm just so grateful that I get to do this. And as, even though I'm really, really sad that I had to do what I had to do, I'm grateful that I had to do it. And I think God gives us these really hard situations, and good things can come out of them. I think it's a lot of perception as well. But Emily and I are much closer these past couple days after we went through that together. And it's I don't know how much she wants me to talk about it on the show. I think it's okay with her. But I'm pretty open about it sometimes. It's like we're trying to start a family. We've been trying for 3 years, and haven't been successful. Been almost successful a couple times, and had that those setbacks that are really hard. And it's oh man, both of us want to be parents really, really bad. And it's harder for her than it is for me. But I don't know. I'm really happy that I've got my newfound faith and in God and stuff like this. So even if we don't have children of our own, I know I'm gonna be okay. I'll always be sad about it. And but going through this, I know that we've got like a ton of love to give all these little animals. And people make fun of you a lot of the time, be like, oh, you're like a childless dog mom and stuff like that. But for people like us who are struggling to start a family, it's all we've really got. And I've got so much love in my heart for all these little animals, and I just want them to be happy and have good lives. And they bring me so much joy. And they're gonna help sustain my family and hopefully other families, and give people healthy food and stuff like that. So yeah, that's where we are. And I almost had a full-on ugly cry right there, but I reeled it in. So yeah, I just couldn't sleep, and I kind of wanted to talk about it. I was kind of hoping to do a show with Emily, but she's asleep. She's been up all night the past couple nights on her days off, and she's got to go to work today. So I think it's 6 o'clock right now. I think she's about to wake up, and I think this is a pretty good spot to call it. Glad I was able to get a show out to you today. I think Deborah and I are going to be back tomorrow with a headlines show. I have no idea what's going on in the news, guys. I guess Donald Trump got arrested, but I'm seriously no time for the news cycle right now. So I'll probably half-ass it, and then tomorrow morning before the show, an hour, I'll go look at some websites and see what goofy news stories are in there, and try to get you guys an episode for that too. Just get two out this week to make up for missing last week. But if anybody's still listening, I really appreciate all you guys. Yeah, we get more traffic in the Telegram and emails and stuff like that. I'd really appreciate it, guys. I know the numbers for the show are pretty stagnant. They're low. I think they're always going to be low. I think we might have kind of reached the height of what we're doing here. And we have our loyal, 12 to 1500 people that listen and download the show every week. And that's kind of, I think, the way it's going to stay. So that's my original alarm that's just went off to go feed these little guys again. I think I got till about 7 to feed them. But I got to cook up some milk replacer, and we're kind of making, we found out a cool recipe for this counterfeit colostrum, so we're doing that. And yeah, we're gonna try some weird stuff. We're gonna try to see if one of these other moms will adopt these babies and let them nurse, but it's not looking good on that front. But they'll be fine if they have to be bottle babies. So, but guys, yeah, once again, I'm grateful for all you guys, and I'm just really, really grateful for all these experiences and the hardships we're going through out here. Like, I moved out here and wanted to do this full time, and I wasn't hoping for it to be easy. And it hasn't been easy. It's hard. And I'll take it. I'll take this type of part any day over a 9 to 5. So I love all you guys. If anything I've covered today makes you want to reach out and talk to me, or if there's anything you guys want us to talk about, or any stuff that you want to hear about in the Patreon, just let us know. We're open to everything. And if you got a good story, let us know. But yeah, love you. Love all you guys. And thank you for your support. We'll be back with you tomorrow. All right. I'm out. Bye.